Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 182 is coming at you right now. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast, a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can go to www.theportalct.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Portal, on Twitter at PortalGaming60, and on YouTube, our streaming and playthrough channel, Step Into the Portal. That is where you will find me, your host, Solamente, for this episode, The Brant. It is just me. This is episode 182, entitled, A Death Mark is Not an Easy Thing to Live With. It's been a little while for the podcast, I know. It's really a matter of I haven't played a ton of games, so there hasn't been a large push to do a podcast. Usually I like to talk about a lot of games. In fact, today I'm just going to talk through some games more than do reviews of games. It's a combination of work getting really busy, we got COVID, we had vacation, and just a couple times where I just didn't find a chance to get a podcast done is kind of what's been happening. Oh, my poor cat. Okay. Hello, Emily. All right. So check all those things out. If you don't know, if you're listening to the podcast, we have a channel called Step Into the Portal, and we do lots of games and playthroughs. For the last year or so, for the first year, it was at the store. For the last year, it's been at my house. It's going back to both. It's going to be at the store and my house. So for my house, you'll see a lot of plays of Marvel Champions. So the channel is probably pretty heavy with Marvel Champions players and whatnot. But we will be adding more things playing through from the store again. So we'll bring you lots of new games, Kickstarters, other sorts of other games that we'll be having there. Also, I'm excited over the summer, we're going to start running weekly events for My Hero Academia CCG, which is one of my favorite card games to come out, obviously other than Marvel Champions, which I really enjoy. I don't know. That's kind of what's just been going on with me teaching. There's just been a lot with school and going through all that. Like I said, our family got hit with COVID, and that just kind of put us out for, you know, whatever it is, 5 to 10 days. I definitely didn't feel up to doing a whole bunch of things and whatnot. And there's not been a ton of games releasing. Ark Nova's obviously been one of the big ones, but I was able to play that and acquire that prior and obviously hit my top game of 2021. And since then, there's kind of just been a slow trickle of games and review copies coming in and things like that. So I'm going to kind of like highlight some of the games that I've been playing. One thing I did do recently is I played in a pre-release event for the newest set of Magic the Gathering, which is New Capenna. Got it right there. And it's kind of like a 1920s mafia-themed set. And so if you don't know, if you've never played a pre-release for Magic, you go in, you kind of pick like three colors that you're going to play and get a little box. The box gives you, or people are going to know better than me, I think it's 6 packs of cards. It's either 5 or 6 of just the cards from the new set, as well as like a pack that goes with those three colors. And then you can grab your basic lands and tokens and other things you need. I think there's also 2 like random, not promo, I guess just like rare cards that are in there. And then it gives you a little instruction booklet that helps you how to build a deck. You're going to build a 40 card deck. It tells you how many lands to put in, how many creatures and all sorts of other things. So that's kind of the idea. And then you build a deck on the spot and then you play little tournaments, best of 3, you know, in 50 minutes or an hour or something like that. And you kind of get a ranking, and then they hand out some packs at the end. And it's pretty fun. It's really chill. Your deck is going to be whatever you open, you know, and obviously some of your skill with deck building, but it's pretty limited with the card pool that you have, because you open those packs, and 2/5 of the cards aren't going to be useful to you. You probably open a couple lands, so it's a matter of kind of piecemealing all that together. But it was fun. That's actually a way that I would enjoy Magic, because I'm really a casual player. I'm not a competitive player. I definitely play to win when I play games, but I really am concerned with, is everyone at the table having fun? Are the rules taught? Those are the bigger things for me, usually when I'm at the table, you know, and considering, am I enjoying this game? So I thought it was a fun format for not being overly competitive, not being overly expensive. Oh gosh, I wish I knew the buy-in. It's either 25 or 30. Maybe it's 35. I think it's 25 at our store. People said it's more at other stores, so I don't know exactly how it all works. And whatnot. So, so that was fun. I got to go to that event, and do that. So I don't know if you haven't played Magic the Gathering in a while, I thought it was a fun way to jump in. I actually picked up a Commander deck as well, cause everybody told me Commander is kind of the most board gamey-esque style of playing, where you're sitting down with a larger group of people and you're kind of building more, and it's not just kill, 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 which I don't even mind. I honestly, I like two-player dueling card games, even though I'm not super competitive. I enjoy the idea. I've got two cats here next to me. One is attacking the microphone cord. The other is ready to jump in my lap. So there's that. We have Emily, who's our older cat, and then we've got Brandon, who's our new kitten, who's now, I don't know, 7, 8 months old. I think I mentioned I got him on the podcast a little while ago. So there's that. I'm also recording this live on the channel, Step Into the Portal, so if anybody listening wants to ask any questions, go for it, and I will try to answer those. All right, so let me run through some things. So these are some old games that I got a chance to play again that are really, really neat. I really enjoyed them, so I'm going to tell you about those. So I got a chance to play Outer Rim again, which is the Star Wars game. I obviously played it, I played it because there's a new expansion coming out, Unfinished Business, over the summer, and I wanted to play that again, and I had an amazing time playing solo and whatnot. This was kind of while we were home with COVID, and we decided right before we kind of were stuck at home, I said, you know what, I think I'm going to watch the MCU again in timeline order. So we watched the first one, which was Captain America, and then it was like, we're just not movie watchers, even though we really like that series of movies and everything. And we're like, we don't know if we'll do this. Then we got stuck at home for 10 days, or whatever it was, 5 days. And I think we've now watched 12 or 13 of them, because we watched one or two movies a day, because that was kind of all we could do when we weren't feeling so well and we were stuck. So played Outer Rim during that. And it is a pick-up-and-deliver Star Wars game, and it's just... I mean, it's totally, I like it because it's Star Wars, and I love Star Wars for sure. I know that. But it was a lot of fun. I played that solo, and I'm usually not super into solo. I know there's some better solo modes on BGG. I haven't tried them. I played the solo out of the box. It was pretty good. It did feel like the AI is just going to kind of like keep triggering points. But I was pretty excited that I won because I had 9 fame. I had Greedo on my ship. I was IG-88. And I drew the bounty for Greedo, and since he was on my ship, I just attacked him and killed him and got the bounty to win, which I thought was super scum and villainy-esque. So that was enjoyable. I was happy to be able to do that. It was pretty humorous, so that was fun. Then set up in my basement, I set up Star Trek Frontier. So this is the Mage Knight Star Trek. It's a Star Trek version of Mage Knight. They're basically copies of each other. There's one extra thing with away missions, but literally even the cards are copies of each other. And man, this really probably is the best solo game that there is. It's just so meaty. It's so full of decisions. It's hard to play in one sitting. So if that is of interest to you, or you don't have a place to leave it, stop, Brandon. And you don't have a place to leave it, then that could be trickier for you. But that was kind of what was happening there. All right, everybody. Come on, cats. Okay. So, that was a lot of fun. I do have a question, which is any more Star Wars Legion gameplay coming to the channel? You know, miniatures games we really like. There's a lot to set them up, and it's hard to get camera angles on miniatures games. You know, you can do a top-down camera and try to do something from the side. So I'm going to say yes, but not soon. We're going to get streaming back going at the store. It's certainly not going to happen from the house, but we should probably do almost like a primer Star Wars Legion game. And get that set up where we can kind of show a little bit more off there, or a shorter game or something like that. So I would like to play more Star Wars Legion. I would like to stream it. Our current camera situation, it's always so blurry to me and it bothers me. Makes it so I'm not certain that is, you know, definitely something we'll do or we'll be jumping to do very soon. So anyway, Star Trek Frontiers is just this really heavy solo game. It's really fun. So I'm not much of a solo gamer, but I really like that one. It's full of tough, tough choices. But also just try Mage Knight, which I think is over my shoulder. I think it's this box right here for people watching. Yep. All right, and then I got to play Catalyst, which is a game we picked up at Gen Con 2019, and I absolutely love this game. I got to play it again, and it is so good. It's from DV Jochi, and I really, really like Catalyst. I say seek it out. We still have copies at the store because I told Brian to bring a whole bunch in. And the game is so good. Is it an engine building game where you're trying to build an engine, destroy it, build another engine, destroy it, build another engine, destroy it? And often the complaint in engine building games is I get my engine and then I don't get to run it well. But this one, you get to run well over and over and over again. And it is awesome. So, there is that. All right. Sinister Motives is the newest expansion the newest expansion for Marvel Champions, and I did a full playthrough of that. Thank you to FFG for sending over a copy to us, and I was able to play through the whole campaign live. for everybody to see, and that was a ton of fun. And then I've been playing a whole bunch more, and it is really one of the best expansions that they have made. I really like it a lot. Obviously, I really like Marvel Champions. Speaking of Marvel Champions, this weekend, May 20th through the 22nd, I will be in Roseville, Minnesota at Games Enter, next to Fantasy Flight Games. It is now no longer part of that. It used to be the Fantasy Flight Games Center or something. But I will be at the Con of Heroes playing Marvel Champions, helping run events, and then kind of playing other games on Sunday. So Friday and Saturday, it's Marvel Champions and events and all sorts of things. And then Sunday, it is other games. So I'm going to play some other games. I have some other Marvel games that people have sent to me that I want to try to get played there. There's that. Speaking of games sent to me, I got two Star Trek games that I've gotten a little bit. Actually, Star Trek Missions I've gotten a decent number of plays. So Star Trek Missions is a Fantasy Realms version of Star Trek. And so you're drawing cards and trying to set up your hand so that you make combos. I want certain Federation officers. I want Klingons. I want Romulans. I want holograms and all sorts of different cards. You also have these mission cards that tell you to collect other things. They're kind of different. And you can only have up to two missions, and you have to have one in your hand, I believe, so it's one or two. And so that is a really neat game. If you like Fantasy Realms, but you really like Star Trek, you're going to like this better. If Star Trek isn't really your thing, I feel like Fantasy Realms is a little bit better of a game. Those missions, to me, are a little bit holding it back, but whatever. They're really fun games. I like them because they can play like up to six people, and it's just really fast. You're just drawing cards, discarding. It feels like a classic card game, and then you're scoring all these points at the end, making all these combos, so it's very combo-rific. That is exciting. And then I also got sent Star Trek Super Skill Pinball, which is something I really want to play live on the channel, because I really love Super Skill Pinball. There's Super Skill Pinball 4K. It's by Jeff Engelstein from WizKids Games, and we have a playthrough of the original one. Then I got the expansion Rampant Up, and I don't remember if I did a play of it, but I don't think so. So now I want to do the Star Trek one because it really works well solo. It's okay. It works well two-player, and then it's okay, if not great, at three and four. Because every turn you're rolling two dice and then picking one of the two dice and moving the pinball where you want it to go on your board. But the more players you add, the more decision space there is for people, because more people to make the decision, and then you have to roll the dice again and roll the dice again and roll the... And with four people, you kind of have to ask everybody, are you ready? And so this game where it's almost like around, you know, 10-plus minutes should be like one ball, you get three balls, but it'll run like 30 minutes sometimes in a three- or four-player game, and then next thing you know, you're playing an hour-and-a-half game. And it's too light to be an hour-and-a-half game, but it's phenomenal solo. So anyway, they made a Star Trek version, and I got a chance to play two of the ones that are on there, and I want to put this on the channel. It's just as good as the original one. So this one is take it or leave it with Star Trek. If you love the original one and want more boards, awesome. If you love Star Trek, this is the best one to jump in on. They're all purchasable. They're not expansions. I don't even know if I said that. They're all standalone. They all come with four different boards that you can play on that kind of up the level of complexity. I don't know if it's really difficulty, but it's definitely complexity. Phenomenal, phenomenal game. Jeff did such a great job. It really feels like pinball. And yeah, it's so much fun. So run out and play it. If not, pick it up if it sounds interesting, because I don't even think the price point's very high. All right. I actually have played a few games now of HeroClix. Specifically, we've got the HeroClix What If set in, which is supposed to come out soon, but I haven't seen it yet in our store. And HeroClix is a game that's been around for a while. It's little miniatures, and they have these little Clix bases on them. So again, it's another WizKids thing. WizKids sent me a lot. They're the ones who've been sending me games lately. So that's what we get to talk about. And it's all these miniatures. And so Larry and I got a chance to sit down and play this a few times, and it's like complex. Every skill has an ability. You click your click over, there's a new color ability. They've got a sheet to figure it all out, and there's a ton to collect. Larry went and opened a ton of product, got a ton of things. And we've been trying to play through some of this, but I just haven't been around the store and been able to play as much. But, HeroClix is really quite fun. It's kind of a silly romp and whatnot, but it's been really interesting, and I think this What If set will probably also be of interest to people. All right, probably the two biggest games. One I think I'm going to mention, but I want to have Kathy on to talk about it. But the two biggest, probably like best games I've played lately, one is Valeria Card Kingdoms, which I actually have next to me here. I wonder if I can pick this up. And this is actually a reprint of a game. This is the second edition. And this game is phenomenal. This is like Machikoro and Space Base and all of those. And what happens in Valeria Card Kingdom is you're trying to defend a kingdom and basically get the most points. And so what happens is you roll 2d6 on your turn, and then numbers come up, and everybody triggers those numbers, which are basically heroes that you have that are part of your kingdom. And they'll gain abilities. You got a little board that's holding your magic, your strength, your money, and your victory points. And you're going to gain those resources and then spend them to purchase cards. So you're either going to hire more champions to come in. So you're going to hire the three or the eight or whatever it is. Or you're going to defeat enemies. When you defeat enemies, you spend resources but gain bonuses and then get victory points at the end of the game. So that's kind of what you're doing. You're kind of set collecting. When you roll the dice, let's say I roll a three and a six, everybody triggers their three, their six, and the sum, their nine. So you trigger three different cards. If you have none of those in your tableau, then there's a little bonus where you gain any resource, so you're never out of luck. And if it's your turn, you tend to gain more than if it's other players' turn. So if other players' turn, you might just get one money, but on your turn, you might get three or four money from that same card, and there's some trade and other things. And there's variety in that box, and then there's a whole bunch of expansions, which I've played that other people have, but I don't have the expansions. But this game has gone over so well. I don't know how they cleaned it up from first edition because I never played first edition. This is that perfect game to just be like, hey, I'm bringing this over. We're playing this. It's four people. This is going to go over well. It's a really fun game. I don't know that it's like an amazing game, but it's just really fun. It's inherent as to how you're going to do it. You're scoring points. It's not too slow. There's only a few decision points to make, but they're interesting. And you know, you can either collect a wide set of cards or you can collect a single card, and then all of those. If I roll a three and I have four threes, they all trigger their ability, so I'm gaining a whole bunch of whatever that is. There's also a cooperative mode that's in the box, and there's an even better co-op that they sell individually that's really fun. So that game has gone over super well. Valeria Card Kingdoms, we played all the versions, and it's been going over really well. And then the other big one is Larry and Brian came back from Gamma with a demo of Soulforge Fusion. And Soulforge Fusion is another game coming out from Ultra Pro and Stoneblade Entertainment. Maybe it's just Stoneblade. And oh, that actually reminds me that I have to mention Ascension. And so this is a game from Richard Garfield of obviously Magic the Gathering fame, and it's kind of got that Keyforge thing. So you get two halves of a deck and you shuffle them together. Those halves are unique. So you're collecting halves of a deck and then shuffling them as you go. So this one might, you know, this blue deck might go with this purple deck, or you might put two blue decks together. And then you're basically playing into lanes and you're fighting and trying to get the other player down from 50. But what's interesting on my turn is I draw a hand of cards. They're all level one. I play a card. As soon as I play it, I go and get the level two card and put it in my discard pile. When that level one card leaves play, it's destroyed. It's eliminated from the game. And so my deck always stays at 20 cards. Every time I play a card, I upgrade it to the next level. And that's super interesting to be able to play through and do. And then just obviously the unlimited combination. So right now, I think we only have four decks so that you can just shuffle in twos and twos. But it's a really interesting game. I'm excited for when this comes out to just pick up a bunch and shuffle them around and try them out because there's lots of interesting powers. And as you upgrade those, they get a lot more powerful. Like, I feel like there was like a raptor or something, and he started attacking at like five, but his third level would attack for like 18. So they really jump up as you're leveling those up. You also pick a like a champion, I don't remember the exact name, and you get that special ability that will level up. So you've got a lot of like leveling up within the game, but it's all a relatively short game, 30 minutes. There is a play on our channel that you can check out. I played with Bree live on the BBT, which is been our Wednesday streams, although they haven't happened in a while. But hopefully we'll be bringing that back as well over the summer, so you'll be able to see lots of games getting played there. That reminded me of Ascension Tactics, the miniatures game, which I absolutely love. I really, really like this game. Really well done, and I played through the whole solo campaign in one sitting. I think it took me 4 hours. So you can check that out on Step Into the Portal as well. If that's of interest to you, scroll through and see what's happening. At the end of the day, I don't like the solo AI nearly as much as playing another player. Even the co-op version, I really like the battle, which can be maybe opposite of what I was saying. I was non-competitive, but the AI is interesting and it definitely, you know, can put you to a challenge, but overall it's not super challenging. And I just like trying to figure out what I'm going to do with another person. But anyway, The game is a miniatures game that's running with the Ascension system. So you've got the runes and the power, but the power is now powering your champions instead of defeating enemies. So your champions have power, and then you're allowed to kind of exhaust their card and move them on the board. And then you can play your other cards for runes and their special abilities. You're trying to control sites on the board as well as eliminate your opponent's heroes to keep them off the board and score a number of crystals to win the game. It's phenomenal. It's so well done. I really, really like Ascension Tactics, one of my favorite games of this year. So that's three of those. All right. Other games I've been able to play is Lord of the Rings. I did the Dark of Mirkwood, which is kind of the like new old expansion. It was in like an old collector's edition they made, and now they're re-rolling out all that stuff. So I got to play through that. You can watch a playthrough of that with myself and Steve from One Stop Co-op Shop on the channel. And Lord of the Rings is phenomenal. It's a game I set aside and then didn't get back into when I picked up Marvel Champions, but that's another one that I really like. I also just opened a box of Crimson Rampage, which is the newest My Hero Academia set, and I'm really excited to push this over the summer because I adore this game. It's going to be really fun to get a community going, get this game being played. And again, I said I'm not really a competitive player, so the tournament parts are always hard for me because I want everybody to just come out, have fun, collect cards, trade cards, build decks, share ideas. That community element of card games is so much fun. But Larry called me immediately. He was like, you know nothing about this set. You did not read through those cards. So I was definitely just blind opening them and trying to figure out. So it'll be interesting to figure that out. Got to play a game of Foundations of Rome, which is an absolutely gorgeous game. I want to talk about that one with Kathy, so hopefully I'll get her on. We have been playing Legends of Sleepy Hollow. And this is a very narrative game. It's from two of my favorite designers, Matt Rill and Ben Pitchback, who made Fleet the Dice Game and Three Sisters and Motor City, as well as many other games. And it is a like narrative, story-driven kind of dungeon crawler. It's almost like a dungeon crawl puzzle. And you're playing through, you're trying to find Ichabod Crane after the Sleepy Hollow story. And you are the legend, so you're playing four other characters. You have to play with four. I really like that. We played through the first two missions. So here's what this game does well. So again, when you start thinking dungeon crawler, you can't put that in your brain. It's very narrative. You get to know the characters. You get upgrades on the characters. And I want to say it's light. I just want to say if a dungeon crawler is kind of considered a heavy game, this is a medium game. So it's not light. Here's what they do so well in that game. So the very first mission is short. It's not long at all. It's when you're first learning the rules, you're probably going to push 60 minutes. But I was playing with Kathy, I'd already played one, and it was like 35, 40 minutes because I kind of already knew the rules. So it's just getting you to know the rules. And they don't skimp on being able to fight bad guys. Like, there's really good stuff, good story, good villain at the end, all that kind of stuff. So it really, like, drives you in the story, and then they give you a whole bunch of awesome upgrades, you feel more powerful. And then after the second mission was a little linear in my mind. Mr. L, I see your question, I will answer it. It was a little linear in my mind, so it was generally fun, but at the end, they give you, like, classes. And I'm sorry for spoiling that, for opening it. It's not a legacy game. It's nothing like that. But that was awesome. You get to make so many amazing choices. I cannot wait to play this game again. So, again, I want to, like, review it with Kathy because we only played two of the 10 chapters. But the story is pretty good and really good sound different. Really good sounds amazing and pretty good sounds not so good. So it's right in between there. I really enjoy the story. It's driving that. I love the characters. They play so different. They interact with each other really well. One is like a clear healer, protector. One is a clear damage dealer. One is a clear defender. And one is like a range. Like, they really stick to their characters. And then they can assist each other. Like, oh, you'll give somebody else a ability to do that. And all those kind of things. So I've been enjoying that one a whole bunch. We played Meeples and Monsters. Buried Treasure. I played Horrified. With the American Monsters, I played that version. I just got one playing, played with Jason Perez from Shelf Stories and Jen and Matt Bartlett from Literary Gamers. They are local to me, so we got a chance to do that. That was a whole bunch of fun. Got to play a game of Oltree, which I think is a good family-style like defense. Played one game of two games of Maracaibo Uprising. We played two of that. Huh. So we got to play some other versions of that. Maokai was already phenomenal. The expansion's basically a no-brainer to me. The co-op is okay. So I would kind of go away from that. I think those are, oh, and I played Free Ride with Eric Summer, which was a cool game. So some of those I want to get more plays in before I talk about, especially Meeples and Monsters. That's one that I would like to get more plays in, maybe Ultry, for that. All right, I got questions from Mr. L. He says, did you and Larry ever do a top 10 board games in your collection? We have not done that. We've never done top 10, so that is a great idea. I think these are some of the kind of streams that we're going to start doing from the store to talk through. The last one we attempted to do was top 10, like, hidden gems or underrated games or games we like that other people don't or something like that, and the internet crashed in the middle of the stream. So we only ever got halfway through, and I couldn't get it back up and running. And we actually, that spot in the store, I never got internet to go back up and running. So, yeah, top 10 games. I can tell you in my top 10 games, if you're actually interested in knowing that, Marvel Champions would be up there. Gloomhaven is one of my favorite games. Gaia Project, Concordia, Brass. I think some of these are behind me. These are games. I think Ark Nova's in there for me, although I don't own a copy because my wife doesn't like it. So right now it's just tough to buy games, and I'm not going to be able to play with her when we're home so much and whatnot. But those are some of my top games of all time, and I feel bad. I know I'm missing some. Oh, Castles of Burgundy. So I really tend to like Euro games. Marvel Champions and some of the card games are an exception to that. So, in terms of every year, we did do a top 10 games of 2020. No, we didn't do that. I did a top 10 games of 2021 with Eric Summer over on the Dice Tower channel. We didn't end up putting a whole bunch of pictures, and so it was a video, and people, rightfully so, it could have been a podcast and worked better that way. And I don't actually know that I did them, but you can definitely see our top 10 games of 2020. That was Brian, Larry, and myself. Brian is the store owner at the portal. Larry and I would stream together. Hey, there's BB House wrote it with Concordia. Yeah, that's one of my favorite games for sure, and your blinged out copy is awesome. Champions is a money sink, but I love the game so much. How about starting a board game collection for $300 or $500? Yeah, that would be fun to do with Larry. Myself, that's a tricky one for me because it's like, I don't know, I'd rather talk to you and know what your tastes are. I love walking people around our store and being like, what do you like? What do you enjoy? People came in and they had played Wingspan and they were trying to figure out, and they just had a list. They were like, Terraforming Mars, Everdell. Like, they had all these ideas, and then being able to kind of point them to games that were already kind of in their wheelhouse. Is there, because it's hard. There's such a breadth of games now that trying to tell people, like, everyone will like this game is just tricky these days, because there really is an alternate to that. Like, people might not dislike co-ops, but they might dislike co-ops that have all open information and can play to an alpha game. And there are people who want games that are strictly hidden information co-op. And they want those kind of things. So then you've got to go to that. Like, The Crew feels like it should be a natural game to me that everybody would like. But if you don't like trick-taking games, you didn't play trick-taking games growing up, that might be a tough one for you to do. So I would hem and haw very Rotto style on doing that. But that probably is the fun of the list, is hearing somebody, even though you're kind of asking for what would your games be for $300 to $500, it's hearing like, oh, here's my 40 options, and now I narrowed it down to this, right? I'm involved with the Dice Tower Awards, and we put out our nominations, and those are going to come out at this Summer Spectacular in July. And Tom Vassell says it all the time, but I totally agree with him. Like, forget which game wins, right? If Ark Nova wins and you don't like Ark Nova, go to the other 9 games that we recommended for Best Game of the Year, or the other 4 games that are recommended for Best Strategy Game of the Year, and I will almost guarantee that 1, 2, if not 3 of those games will be awesome for you in your wheelhouse. So don't forget, when games are nominated like that, you get 5 games in a category or 10 for Best of the Year. Those are amazing games. I am so proud of our committee for putting all those games together, because they pick great games. It's a great way to get recommendations. It's just like a top 10 list. Here's the top 10 games of 2021, according to that group of people. Hey, this one came out number 1, but you're probably going to like number 10 almost as much as number 1, because it's also a great game. So check those out. But it's a good idea. Top 10 lists are fun. They're fun to do. They're, you know, 30 to 60 minute streams, which are fun for people to watch and join in on. So we should do that as well. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. This wasn't a super long episode. Like I said, I just haven't played as many games. I've been play testing for a couple companies, so that's been happening. And getting ready to go to Con of Heroes and replaying a lot of games, trying to play stuff with Kathy that, you know, she's generally enjoyed and kind of replay through some of those and whatnot, and then just pulling old games off my shelf and playing them. So I haven't been super set up for reviews, and I haven't gone to the board game nights. So it's been tricky to get some of those reviews in. Like, what do I have? I have Remix. I have Marvel Remix, which is the other version of Fantasy Realms they made that's Marvel. And Rock Paper Heroes, the Marvel one they sent me. I have Madara that I haven't even broken into and play. I gotta get that played. It looks amazing, so I can't wait to play that. And then obviously these games that I mentioned that I've gotten a few plays in already. So there's that. I've got the new stuff for Thunderstone Quest, which I'm really excited to play. I've got Unmatched. There's all this new Marvel Unmatched and all these other ones. Want to get more plays of Meeples and Monsters. What did they send me here? Mountains Over Molehills has come in. So there's just so many things that I want to get played, but I haven't had the time. So it's been a little trickier on that front. So that is that. I am going to be away at Con of Heroes, so there definitely won't be an episode soon. I'm aiming for one episode a month. If I do more than that, great. If I can get people back on, that is my favorite way to do it when I was having guests. But it's a lot more work than you might realize. Sometimes they all just line up and it works, and other times you're trying to line people up and then they're not able to make it, and you're not able to make it, or the internet goes down, and it becomes tricky. So I had done a bunch with people in a row. I think I'll probably cycle back through some of my local people that I've been able to play with and get Brian on and Larry on and Jason and Eric Summer and Jen and Matt, and then try to find some more people. But yeah, so I'll be at Con of Heroes this weekend. So if you happen to be listening to this and you're a Marvel Champions person, and you're going to have be there, there's like 120 of us or something. But I would love to say hello, check that out. I'll be at Gen Con 2021. I'll be working the Capstone booth. I'm going to try to sneak over to where Fantasy Flight is teaching Marvel Champions and do that, and maybe helping out with some Dice Tower stuff, depending on what they need. They have a lot of people, so the need isn't as strong there. Otherwise, I'll just be hanging out in the main big old hall at night playing games with Larry and Brian, whoever else comes along that we get to play with. So that should be good. BB House Roden asked for a teach of Thunderstone. Sure, I love Thunderstone. I'll teach that. It is long. That is one thing to know about that game, but we'll make it work. Because it's really fun. You can move the keys up and make it play a little faster. So, but I enjoy it a lot, but it is a lot of game, and it's a lot of game to set up. There's a lot of cards, so figure that out. But definitely a good one. All right. Yep, Caleb is going. Caleb Grace, designer for Marvel Champions, is going to be at Gen Con, so hopefully I'll catch up with him there, and hopefully this weekend when I'm in Minnesota. Should be fun. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in live to the audience that I have here. Three or four people, actually. I think it was more than that. At one point, there was five or six people. Hey, there's six people now. So thanks for watching. If you have any questions, feel free to throw them in there and I can answer those for you. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode 182, A Death Mark's Not an Easy Thing to Live With. I think I used that like 150 episodes ago, but with getting COVID recently, I thought it kind of was, fitting there. That is the General Ryukin phrase from Empire Strikes Back, which I think is always a funny little ironic phrase there. So awesome. Well, those are games I've been playing, so they're not really reviews, but they're kind of, hey, check these games out, and kind of, you know, sometimes you can get my feeling on the games from just the way I'm talking, and it's just fun to talk about games and whatnot. So we will be back soon. I'm going to try to do an episode with Kathy as well, but like I said, I'm not going to get an episode out soon here because I am traveling and going away, and then we will go from there. But hopefully I will catch up with everybody in the future. Thanks so much. This is episode 182. My name is The Brant. Until next time, I hope you step. Bye, everybody.